Our moderator, Brother Adam, hates Muslims. This is not a conclusion I reached easily, nor an assertion that I make lightly. I'm friends with Adam on Facebook, and I follow him on Twitter. And he posts a lot of messages about sports, praising various athletes, Michael Jordan, Jerry Rice, Colin Kaepernick, who I hadn't even heard of until a few weeks ago. And in all this time, in monitoring what he writes and talking to him about sports, Brother Adam has never once praised a Muslim athlete. I've never once seen him speak about Hakeem Olajuwon in a positive way. And I began to wonder, why, Adam, do you not speak about Muslim athletes in a positive manner? And it occurred to me that it's because he doesn't like Muslims. Now, am I saying that he really, in his heart, hates Muslims? No. But I'm saying it's a question that we need to ask. In all these updates, why has he not praised Hakeem Olajuwon? Why? I don't know the answer, but it's a question we have to ask. And you might say, but why does it matter whether Adam likes Muslims or not? And I would say, well, I'm not the one moderating this event, he is. And therefore, he has to be accountable for it. What I've just demonstrated to you is the shake and bake. It's something that I've seen occurring online for some time, and I wasn't able to quite put my finger on what's going on. I saw this dominating the discourse everywhere you looked, and I was like, something's wrong here, but I can't quantify what it is. Until I came across an article from a Christian author where he stated that he posted a picture of someone at an airport doing push-ups, and he got Jesus juked. Because people replied to him saying, imagine if people were as passionate about Jesus as they are about doing push-ups. We would be a much better nation. And I realized that that's exactly what's going on here. When I watched the Super Bowl this past January, you saw this stream of updates on Facebook and Twitter of people saying, if only people were as dedicated to Allah as they are to football. If they only spent 2 hours reading Quran instead of watching a silly game, we would be a much better ummah. If they just prayed for 2 hours instead of watching the football game, all of this ummah's problems would be solved. That's why. Why do you do that? Did anyone actually go and say, you know what? It's the 2-minute warning, it's a tie game, but they're right. I'm going to turn off the game and go pray for 2 hours. Did that actually happen? No. But why do these people do that? What are they trying to accomplish? They're discharging some responsibility, giving some advice, some nasiha, but all they're doing is embarrassing someone with the attempt to try to get them to take some type of action. So let's examine a few shake and bakes that we see online. We see here, nothing bothers me more than the absence of Muslim scholars on Syria. Then they go to call one out. The logic behind it being what? I've never seen this scholar speak about a certain issue, therefore he must not have spoken about it. You see the response below. I pray that our brothers and sisters in the USA are safe. Oh, are you too busy to pray for Syria? And this is what happens with the shame grenade, is that you assume that people are guilty of something no matter what they say. Just because you say that you're praying for one thing, that means you're now guilty of not praying for someone else. In this exchange here, you see the mentality develop even further. Personal attacks, a comment on the Muslim Matters article. I can't find an article about Guantanamo. I can't find an article about this. Therefore, let's attack the scholars who do speak about these issues. My assessment of these priorities is the only correct one. The way that I view the world, my worldview on these tragedies is the only one that you can adopt. And if you don't take my view, you're just trying to get popular and famous and you don't care about your Muslim brothers and sisters. This is a cult mentality. We create a polarizing us versus them. You're either on my team and you say what I say, or you're on the other team. And the other team is going to a very bad place. Here we see a khutbah about Quranic guidance for the tragedies in Boston. What's the response? A shame grenade. Why isn't his head covered? Someone should advise him. It's a lack of understanding of context, of time and place. Do we need to have a discussion about covering your head? Sure, we should. But there's a time and there's a place and there's a setting for that discussion. And that setting is not this one. But for those who engage in shake and baking people, they think that, well, this one thing that I'm thinking about in my head is the haq, is the truth, and therefore it's my duty to tell everyone about it regardless of how I do it. Because I have now fulfilled my Islamic responsibility of teaching them the truth and advising them and telling them to change for the better. I also was not spared of this. The false humility comes into play. I'm not a scholar. I'm just an average person. But I'm just asking, isn't the khutbah supposed to be in Arabic? And why isn't your head covered? And so this is one of the ways that they mask their true intentions, is I'm going to make an assertion, but then I'm going to say, but you know what, I'm not the scholar. I'm not the sheikh. I'm just asking a question. I'm not really saying anything. I'm just asking. I'm just saying we need to discuss it. And so they hide behind this to attack people and to embarrass them. I posted a status saying, Alhamdulillah for being able to go to the grocery store and getting whatever you want in safety. You know, I've been on the internet long enough to know what types of things you will say that people will attack, and this was a new one for me. That this is not a positive thing, brother, because people will get fat when you can get whatever you want at the grocery store. A friend of mine posted, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Praise be to Allah in all situations. Is this a hadith? Is it authentic? When a hafiz of Quran posts this status, people might see it as something Islamic. Who are you to say that this status is Islamic? We don't know. Why did you post this without proving it? I'm not saying it's un-Islamic. I'm just asking the question. I'm not a sheikh. I'm not a hafiz. I'm just saying we need to find out. And so inshallah, he'll find a scholar. And not just any scholar. But a scholar who has his list of tragedies in the correct order to come and tell him whether saying Alhamdulillah is Islamic or not. Sheikh Abdul Nasser posted a video of taking his daughters to the zoo, teaching them that Allah has created all these different types of animals. You can read the comment for yourself, but a three-year-old girl is being told, or he's being told, that you need to educate your daughters about hijab so they don't become evil, disobedient women that Allah hates. There's a toxic negativity that comes from these types of comments. For a three-year-old girl, again, lack of context, lack of understanding of the situation, being fixated only on one thing and taking it no matter what, all the way through. There's an isnad for this type of behavior. There's a chain that goes back where people can trace the way that they've learned. Just like we pass down, you know, we teach each other hadith and Quran. These people have learned the shaykh and bake from their shuyukh and their mentors and their scholars. And we see one of them here. When you shaykh and bake someone, you're essentially performing an act of spiritual blackmail. Everyone's been to a fundraiser where they say, if you love your mother, you will donate this money. If you don't want your children to grow up as apostates, you will donate to our Islamic school. Brother, I forwarded you an email raising funds for our masjid project. We only needed $2.8 million. And I noticed that you didn't forward the email to any of your friends. Are you ready to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and testify that you had the chance to get good deeds by spamming all of your friends and you chose not to? Be careful of the day of judgment, brother. The DOJ card. They think that feelings are zero sum. I gave 4 feelings to Palestine. I gave 4 feelings to Syria. I gave 2 feelings to Oklahoma, and now I'm all out. It sounds so ridiculous when you verbalize it, and yet that's exactly how people think. That just because I prayed or I made dua or my heart reached out to one person or to one event or to one situation, that now I'm precluded from being able to have any sympathy for anybody else. You see here, Muslim country number 3 is at 0% because they were out of feelings. These people manipulate. That's their only goal. They play the role of a false victim, of an overly dramatic, and of a bully. They pretend to be superhuman and never admit that they're wrong. And trust me, especially online, they have more time than you. They will argue longer and harder and more verbosely than you. And they see life as a game. It's not about the da'wah as much as they try to appear sincere. It's not about what's right or wrong, but it's about a game where they prove that they're right and where someone else is wrong. Donald Miller said that they want you to submit, but have no intention of submitting themselves. There is not a world where we are supposed to create intimacy and trust through grace, but a world where we are supposed to accumulate power and security by tricking the people around us. They see it as a game where they win these imaginary internet points and show it off to their buddies, to their 4 Twitter followers and both of their friends on Facebook. We have to come to understand that no matter what type of Islamic work someone's doing, no matter what their cause is, no matter what their activity is, that we all operate in an ecosystem. Everyone has a gear that they're spinning. Someone else is spinning a gear, and together they make the whole system work. Everyone has different talents. Everyone has different passions. Everyone has a different organization that they're working for. And as the Quran tells us, to cooperate with one another in goodness. And that's the way that we have to work, is to help one another in what's good. Because when we prop one up, we prop ourselves up. But the way that if you give into this mentality, if you give into the way that these people think, you'll fall into that fatalistic mindset. And you'll begin to question your own work. You'll begin to say that I'm only working on this one small thing. What's the point? Why should I be worrying about this when all of these other evil things are going on? Is it even worth it? Is it even worth the hassle? Because no matter what good I do, it's going to be trumped by something that someone else thinks is more important and more deserving of my attention. And if you do that, you'll end up doing nothing. But if a person works and they ignore these people, block them out, take them out, don't let them enter your mind and heart, and understand that whatever work you do, if it's blessed by Allah's infinite grace and bounty, then you have nothing to worry about. And lastly, to give some perspective, because when you see these people online, when they send you these messages, it's difficult to deal with it sometimes. It becomes very difficult to say, how do I deal with this? But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us the best guidance. So that if you're working on something, you're planting a tree, and the world is about to end, the day of judgment is about to commence, you see the sun rising from the west, and you're planting a tree, finish planting the tree. The work that you're doing, finish your effort. Don't give up just because some other catastrophe is happening. But the work that you're doing it for a purpose, fulfill that purpose, and finish it out. JazakAllah khair.